Okay, so let me first thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak here, and then also the audience for staying for this last talk of this afternoon session. So the title of my talk will be A First Principles Approach to Correlated Systems. And the way is to combine GW and extended DMFT. So it's related to where's the stick? Thank you. To the ideas that Ping presented you, and we want to see how we can incorporate these actually in a realistic context. So how can we go to an ab initio method for strongly correlated systems? And these are some ideas that we wrote up in the recent CONMAT together with Ferdi Arias-Eterwan and Antoine Georges. Let me start with some motivations. Why do we need yet another combination of an electronic structure method with DMFT? Then let me shortly track back to what Ping has shown you, a functional point of view for eDMFT and GW. And then I will discuss how we can use this to go towards a first principles method for strongly correlated systems. And I will show you in principle some scheme, some proposal, but also some open questions and problems one should discuss, because I will finish on some rather simplified implementation of this scheme, where you can see which are actually the issues one has still to solve. And this I will apply to the electronic structure of ferromagnetic nickel. So for the motivation, let me go back to what one does when one does standard LDA plus DMFT. In the state-of-the-art form of LDA plus DMFT, one calculates an Hamiltonian within density functional theory and the local density approximation, uses this Hamiltonian to construct something like a non-interacting part of our problem, and then one corrects this by some Haworth interaction terms, here Haworth and Hund's terms. And finally, this is solved within a dynamical mean field scheme. So this is a method which has turned out to be very successful. It has been applied to F-electron systems, transition metals, transition metal oxides in slightly simplified forms, and has proven to be very successful to give us some insight in strongly correlated systems. However, there are a couple of drawbacks or problems one should maybe think about. The first one being that this combination of LDA Hamiltonian with some Haworth interaction term is rather an ad hoc assumption than a thing one could rigorously justify. Related to this issue is the question, what is really U? Can one represent the Coulomb interactions in a solid by just a parameter, a local parameter, and moreover frequency independent? Or as being discussed, does one have to include frequency dependence? Does one have to go to non-local interactions? And finally, related also again to these two issues, is the need for double counting terms, which is a serious problem because in principle, the part of the interaction already included within the LDA is not a well-defined quantity. So this is rather an experimental business, what one includes here as a double counting. So the question which comes up, can we indeed treat long-range Coulomb interaction in an ab initio way? And then also a second question, when we treat this Hamiltonian that I have shown you in a dynamical mean field theory way, we approximate the k-dependent safe energy by a k-independent local quantity. Can we also actually go beyond this in the same way? So these are the questions we want to address. And now it's getting obvious that GW is quite an obvious candidate for this, since GW is a method which treats, in principle, Coulomb interactions in an ab initio way. It, in principle, does not refer to something like LDA exchange correlation energies. And moreover, it naturally has non-local parts in the self-energy. So now one could ask the question from the other side, why not doing GW directly? But you all know that GW is a weak coupling theory. That means for strongly correlated systems, we want to keep the advantages of DMFT, namely that we can go to arbitrary strong interactions in principle. So the hope is that by combining GW with DMFT, we can take the advantages of both schemes, the ab initio treatment of W, and also the ability to go to strongly correlated systems. So let me track back to the functional point of view. Just very shortly, one can write the free energy of the system as a functional of the Green's function, the one particle Green's function defined here in the usual way, and the screened Coulomb interaction, screened by the connected charge-charge correlator here. This has been noticed in the GW context and in the EDMFT context. And actually, both theories now take different approximations for this function. Let me not go through this in detail, but let me just mention that until here, this is actually just the Hartree part of this functional. And then we have some correction going beyond Hartree, which Ping has discussed in the model context. In principle, one can write down some kind of coupling constant integration expression for this functional, but this expression is too complicated to use for practical purposes. So what we want is to have approximations for this last remaining part of the functional, for the part going beyond Hartree. What extended DMFT does is to assume that this functional can be calculated from a local quantum impurity model. That means it can be taken as a functional just of the local Green's function and the local part of the screened Coulomb interaction. GW is taking another stand. GW is saying we do some kind of first order expansion in the screened Coulomb interaction, actually in a special form, namely the RPA form. And then we get this kind of convolution here. Now the idea is to combine the extended DMFT treatment with the GW treatment by taking the local part from DMFT and the non-local part from GW. This has the advantage that we have the full local treatment from DMFT to all orders, and the weaker non-local part, which probably can be calculated within a perturbative treatment, is coming from GW. Note that if I talk about local, this means in a real solid on-site, where we have to use a specific basis. So local means it's here a basis set dependent issue. How do we calculate actually the impurity part? You have seen the usual form of the DMFT action, where we have this first non-interacting part with a Weiss field. And then where in usual DMFT, there would be just a static U here. As being discussed, we have now here a dynamical quantity also, which in principle is on the same level as this kind of Weiss field. It will be determined self-consistently at the end of the day. So we have now two quantities in parallel, which take care of the local part of our Green's function and screened Coulomb interaction, represented by this Weiss field and the effective U that we have here. So that means by these two quantities, we define an impurity effective action from which we calculate the impurity Green's function. We calculate also the connected charge-charge correlator. And from this, we deduce the local screened Coulomb interaction. So now we have G and W for the local part. We can deduce from this in a DMFT-like fashion. You probably recognize this equation. This is quite analogous if you consider that these are the dummy variables. These are the real variables. You get a self-energy and a polarization operator for the local part. Now you want to combine this with a non-local part, and actually, if you go through this functional business, it turns out that the GW part, the non-local GW part, can be written just as really the non-local part of the GW self-energy and the non-local part of the GW polarization operator. That means we take the full self-energy from GW and subtract actually the local part. This is not an ad hoc assumption, but really comes out of this functional combination that I have shown you. So it means that...
Because you took the... you just had a linear combination of
the yes,
five.
Yes.
Five was broken.
Let's say the good luck, or whatever I might call it, is that we can actually split this in the function in the local part, and the correction, which in GW is a purely non-local
which
quantity.
Is not trivial,
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Following up on that, is P a functional of the local part, or the local and the non-local part? What is this a functional of?
Which one?
P.
P impurity.
In the bottom line.
In the bottom line?
Yes.
This is a combination already. So here you have the impurity part.
So should I think of it as a functional of what? Of G local, or G
and
local and G non-local?
Also non-local.
All of those?
Yeah, we'll postpone for 10 minutes of general discussion.
Okay. Okay, so that means we have now the total self-energy and the total polarization as the combination of the non-local part here from GW and the impurity part, which gives us the local part. Then, as in usual DMFT, we need a self-consistency condition relating quantities on the lattice with impurity quantities. So we take our self-energy that we calculated here, construct the k-dependent Green's function, then sum it so that we get the local quantity, and require that this actually be equal to the impurity Green's function that we calculate from the impurity effective action. And now we have an analogous equation actually for this screened Coulomb interaction. Finally, then we can update these dummy variables, the Weiss field, and this Coulomb U, and iterate this cycle under self-consistency.
What exactly do you take as a VQ? Is that the integral what exactly is the interaction you're taking?
This one is the Coulomb interaction. Yeah.
And the P is with a self-consistent Green function?
I will come to that. I will discuss the cycle now. So, if we assume we do this thing for a given GW calculation, then you would start with your impurity model, so defined by the Weiss field and the U, solve your impurity model, that means obtain the impurity Green's function and the impurity Coulomb interaction, deduce from this the impurity quantities sigma and polarization, and now this is the crucial step. Combine the local part and the non-local part, as we have seen before. Go to the self-consistency. Plug this back in into the relation between the dummy variables, the self-energies, and the Green's function. And iterate this cycle. That means go with these quantities back into the impurity model. So now you can say, once we have iterated this, one might also want to do the self-consistency actually over the external loop, as in LDA plus DMFT, Gabi Kotlia and Savasov did. One can extract at the end of the day the density and recalculate in LDA plus DMFT the Kronchem potential, here the GW Hartree part, and also do self-consistency over this part. So now I want to discuss a couple of questions, problems, challenges coming up if one really does this rather complicated looking scheme. So the first one is this issue of global self-consistency. As has been discussed in GW, it's not at all clear if global self-consistency is the thing to do. However, here one is more or less implicitly including vertex corrections for the local part. That means, in principle, one should expect that at least self-consistency should be better than in self-consistent GW. The second question concerns the choice of the Hamiltonian, the orbitals, because I've shown you that in principle we are now able to calculate the Coulomb interaction in a self-consistent way. So the question one could ask, is it possible now not to do any longer the distinction between correlated and uncorrelated orbitals, but to treat everything on the same footing and then expect that, for example, Coulomb interaction parameters for S and P orbitals will turn out to be small? This is an open question. There is some hope that this might be the case, but for practical issues, probably one should go to some kind of downfolding procedure and rather look at effective Hamiltonians. Then the question is what kind of orbitals one should choose, what is the Hamiltonian one wants to create, and these are questions which have to be discussed. And then, of course, to really do the calculation, one needs to solve this big loop, this impurity model, in a dynamical manner. Ping has shown you how you can do this in principle by quantum Monte Carlo. Serge is working on it. Here I will just show you a very crude static approximation. So I'm not doing the whole scheme that I have shown you, but I'm just going to a very crude first shot, namely that I take from a non-self-consistent GW calculation the self-energy and combine its non-local part with a local self-energy coming from a static impurity DMFT calculation. Then we have one problem, namely if you, for example, look at GW effective Coulomb interactions at the W that you really get out as a frequency-dependent quantity, you see that this is small, rather small, at low frequencies, where it has approximately the value that you would typically take for U in an LDA plus DMFT calculation, but it shoots up at high frequencies. So that means if we take a static limit, we have to take care that we still get the screening right that we do not include here. And this is the reason why we treat for the non-local part, we take just the GW self-energy as we should, but for the local part, we use a little trick, namely that we include the LDA part for the local part of the Hamiltonian, and then actually treat it as an LDA plus DMFT, taking an impurity self-energy and correcting it in an LDA plus DMFT fashion. This could be viewed as taking a GW correction to Hartree, but a DMFT correction to LDA instead of Hartree.
Could it also be viewed as doing an LDA plus DMFT calculation and then replacing the LDA self-energy, maybe the exchange correlation one, with the GW
self-energy? The non-local part, yeah. This is equivalent, yeah. So if you do this, we applied this to ferromagnetic nickel. If you do the LDA calculation for nickel, this is this dashed line here, and you compare it with photo emission data, these are these triangles, you will find that there are some problems of LDA, namely you have a too large bandwidth, too large exchange splitting, and then this is not on this plot, of course, you don't see the photo emission satellite. In nickel, there's a famous satellite structure at about 6 eV, which by definition you do not have in LDA. Now, if you go to GW plus DMFT, these are these circles here. You see that you indeed improve on the bandwidth. This is in a GW-like fashion, and actually also somewhat on the exchange splitting. So we get a band structure which is in reasonable agreement with experiment, even in this very crude approximation. But the main point I want to show you is that this, yeah?
Uneman and Co, they did on the LDA, they make then a Goodfellow-type approximation.
Yeah?
How do their results compare with yours?
I think at low frequency, Goodfellow is certainly very good.
Yeah.
However, what you cannot get, and this is this transparency I was coming to, is this satellite feature at 6 eV. So I think the advantage of this method would be really to have both features, to have a band structure and also the satellite features. So so I want to conclude that in principle, GW plus the MFT combination should be able to describe long-range interactions in an ab initio way, and also to include non-local effects for the self-energy. And I want to stress that there are a lot of questions and things to work on, namely dynamical impurity models, how can we solve them, especially in a realistic context with multi-orbitals. Then the effects of the different self-consistencies, the self-consistency of the extended DMFT loop, and also the global self-consistency. This is a widely open question. And finally, what should one take as a Hamiltonian? What should be the orbitals? Can we downfold to an effective model? And then how can we downfold the interaction in that case? So I hope I have convinced you that this is an exciting new field with many things to work on. Thank you very much for your attention.